don't incorporate AI into your work and what you do, you will be wiped out by those who do.
Welcome, everybody. Alex Newman here, senior editor at The New American. We have a very special guest joining us now. His name is Titus Blair. He's a personal friend, but in addition to that, he's an absolute genius. He developed multiple technology companies, sold them, made a bunch of money, gave it all away to go be a missionary in New Zealand and tell people about Jesus. He actually created an AI resume company before AI was even a thing. And Titus never talks about this stuff, but I Googled him one day. He lived here in my town, and I saw that Forbes is writing about his entrepreneurial activities and stuff. He's a really interesting guy, really smart. Last year, he wrote a book about AI saying it could be your own personal superhero. And I said to him, Titus, I'm not so sure about this, man. The people doing these things, they seem pretty evil to me. He's like, no, it'd be real handy. You should try it out. Well, he calls me and gets in touch with me recently and says, hey, I'm working on a new book called AI Apocalypse or AI Apocalypse. And I just had to get him on to talk about this. He's so far ahead of most people's understanding on these issues. Can't think of a better person to discuss this. Titus, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's just start with the obvious question. How'd you go from, hey, AI could be your personal superhero to, uh-oh, watch out, AI is going to destroy your job and you better find a farm?
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me on the show, man. Yeah, when I first started, it was ChatGPT, 3.5. Real 4 hadn't really come out much. And so it was just coming out. And as I saw the capabilities, I thought, well, this is really neat. This is a tool that could enhance people, help them do their jobs. Over the course of the year that I was researching, I wrote the book. And then after that book was published, as I started to get into it, help people consult, I realized and 4.0 came out for ChatGPT, that it was more powerful than I had imagined. And that if I projected it out far enough, it would replace everyone's job.
So when you say replace everyone's job, I think there's a sense, somebody who taught economics for 12 years, like, yeah, things replace people's jobs, right? We no longer have to do a lot of the backbreaking labor that we used to because we have technology now. We don't have to go out and plow the field by hand. We don't have to go out and harvest the crops by hand. We've got tractors and robots and things like that. Why do you think this is so dangerous? I mean, what's the problem with just having some jobs replaced and then these people just go do something more useful?
Well, it's the useful part. Like, what usefulness will humans have? Like, most of the things we do are cognitive. If you're working on a computer right now for your job, you will be replaced. And all you can see, I even put some stuff on my site that you can see right now that AI can go into the browser, set your calendar, book stuff, buy stuff, do things for you. The only thing that's remaining is the spark, like that one part of starting. So that's the part that will be replaced, in a future GPT. But right now, all those tasks can be done automatically.
So everybody who works on a computer, then, you think is going to be replaced. Now, that includes all the programmers working for big tech out in Silicon Valley. I mean, what are these companies going to look like as AI replaces their armies of programmers and product developers and engineers and all the rest of it?
Well, they're going to make a lot more money, first of all, because if you can replace the humans, you make more money because people AI doesn't get sick, moody, and doesn't show up for work randomly. It does its job all the time, every time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So that's the key there, is that you're going to see a Silicon Valley with like servers. By the way, office buildings are already going down now. Like, people are exiting office buildings. Now there's going to be a glut of commercial real estate out there. So it's already going that way, and we're already doing easier work now than we have ever done. Think about it. How hard is it to type on the computer compared to plow a field or dig a ditch or make a bench?
Yeah, but could there be a rosy scenario here? Just asking out of curiosity, I mean, is it possible that AI will replace all our jobs and then we'll just have lots and lots of material prosperity and we'll be able to feed our families with only 10 hours of work instead of 80 hours of work or, whatever, depending on the level of inflation. Is it possible that this could have a happy ending?
Well, if we look at all of humanity in the past, I've never seen a happy ending. So I don't see why something in the past would change in its, habits and direction, especially since people are not very nice. Look at the hate that we have today, all the anger. I mean, how's that going to be rosy and happy? So these are just reflected in the technology. Technology is going to pacify us and make us useless, pretty much, which is what we're already choosing to do.
Yeah. I've heard Yuval Noah Harari talk about this. Yuval Noah Harari, for the folks out there listening, he's a top advisor to Klaus Schwab. He's been a keynote speaker at the World Economic Forum numerous times. And he has talked about how these technologies are eventually going to render most people obsolete. He said they're going to be useless, basically, and asked what to do about them. He said, well, his best guess is we're going to have to just keep them happy with drugs and video games. What do you think, Titus? Is that plausible? Just keep the useless eaters happy with drugs and video games? And I mean, will the AI have something to say about this?
People already choose to do that now, Alex. I mean, look at drug use, especially prescription drug use, depression. People are willingly doing this. They don't have to be forced to do it, because they're choosing a world where there's you know, chaos and hate and all this stuff, to a world they can control or be pacified. And so that's the way it's going. And me as a Christian, you know, we offer hope, and we offer definitely there's a rosy future for Christians and those who know about Jesus. And that's what I'm really pushing as well, is that if you want to overcome this AI apocalypse, got to get right with Jesus and got to learn how to farm. And these are very good skills. And I'm teaching my kids this. Like, they're asking me, Dad, what do I do? Should I become a programmer? Oh, that's gone. How about I'm going to be an attorney? Oh, that's gone. How about a data entry person? Oh, that's gone. Fast food, AI, you know, and robots replace that. So what can they do?
Can you use AI on your farm?
You could use AI on your farm, I imagine. But the key is to just make sure that you know the skills. Because I think in the future, people are going to count on AI to provide them with food, but only the food they get that AI allows to happen. Or what you can afford.
Wow. Okay. Fascinating. Well, when we get back on the other side of the break, I do want to talk about solutions. How do we prepare for this looming future? But there's been some really weird things. I mean, Elon Musk, I don't know quite what to think about this guy, but he actually said on record, I got the video saying that you know, AI is basically summoning a demon, which I thought was some interesting terminology from a non-Christian. He also said publicly that we were going to have to merge with machines, or we were going to become obsolete. What do you think? Is there a demonic element to this? And what does it even mean to merge with machines? Is that a good idea?
Well, demons have been around a long time in recorded history. Socrates, for example, mentioned demons helping him. And the Oracle of Delphi predicted the future. So evil is a real force, folks, if you're watching this. I hope Elon's watching this, because if Elon discovers the devil, then maybe he'll discover Jesus, right? But the key is, don't merge with the machine, because how many things have humans made that have been perfect? None. So whatever you merge with is going to be imperfect, and therefore probably result in damage and danger.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point, Titus. So you talk about AI taking our jobs, and obviously that should be a concern for people. But even more troubling than that, what else might AI do? I mean, what if AI were to, you know, say the programmers who are creating these things try to program it to think, well, the environment is important, and humans are bad for the environment, CO2 emissions are bad. What if the AI determines that it's just in the best interest of everybody to reduce the number of people or even eliminate all the people? Is that feasible? Is like the Terminator kind of scenario?
Well, that will depend on what power we give AI, right? Like, how much do we let AI control our life? So if we let it control it fully, we will be fully controlled. That's the answer.
What does that mean, Ty? Are you talking about an individual? Are you talking about we as a society? Are you talking about our elected representatives? Who's going to determine how much power we give AI? Is that going to be the programmers out in Silicon Valley?
No, it's going to be beyond them. You see, people talk about super intelligence, not just regular intelligence of AI, but super intelligence. That'll make decisions that humans can't comprehend, because it can predict so far into the future. It can use data and analytics across the globe. Real-time information, that's stuff people can't use. So it'll go beyond the creators.
Wow. Yeah, not going to lie, just a little bit concerning, Titus. So we're going to go to a break in a minute, but when we come back, I want to ask you more about this prospect of AI. What does it look like? And for the folks out there who are kind of wondering what we're even talking about, I think there's still, people who get involved in this space don't realize that there's a lot of people who don't even understand the first thing about this. So we'll talk a little bit about what AI is, how it works, kind of the trajectory that it's on, and then hopefully spend some time on how regular folks like us might prepare for the coming AI apocalypse. Exciting times ahead. Titus, before we go to break, how can people get, I know the book is not out yet, but how can people get the book once it comes out?
You can go to AIapocalypseBook.com, and you can sign up. I'm giving it away free right now. Like, I want to give it away as many people as possible.
Oh, you're giving it away free? Oh, fantastic. So AI AIPocalypseBook.com. AIPocalypseBook.com. Folks, if you're watching us, we'll put that down in the description. Stay with us. We're going to go to break. And when we get back on the other side, we're going to talk more with Titus Blair.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, Welcome to the Singularity. She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it, but her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame, the new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, E-N-D-S-H-I-P. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of The New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code END20, E-N-D-2-0.
Welcome back, everybody. Alex Newman here with The New American. Our guest, held over from the last segment, is Titus Blair. He's a very, very interesting man, incredibly brilliant. He's been in the technology space for a long time, sold a bunch of tech businesses, and gave all his money away and went to go be a missionary in New Zealand to tell people about Jesus. He was into AI before anybody even knew about AI, before people were talking about it. He'd made an AI resume company, and I remember learning about that long before AI was in our common vocabulary. So, Ty, let's go back to the beginning. What is AI? What does that even mean? Is it really intelligence? I mean, talk to a layman. Talk to us like we're five. What does AI actually even mean?
Well, I'd say like a calculator works for a current AI. There's different types of AI, right? But the current AI, the one that's like cognitive, intelligent, writes things, makes things, creates things. Just think of it like a calculator. So right now, if you had to multiply 10,000 times 487, you might not be sure what that is. So use a calculator, does it real quick. I would consider the current AI, which are we call large language models or ChatGPT, as a calculator for cognition. Like it can create anything that you could imagine. Eventually, with connected with agents, it'll build things too. So right now, it can create things like articles and stuff and videos, but eventually, it can make things as well.
And how does this work? Because you know, after our conversation, I think it was last year in North Carolina, I actually said, all right, well, I'm going to put some more effort into this. I'm going to learn about this AI stuff, and I started trying to probe the AI on climate change issues. That's something that I've covered very closely. I see the paganism and the wickedness being imposed on societies under the guise of saving us from climate, and so it disturbed me. And so I went back and forth with the ChatGPT, and it was very obvious to me that it was programmed to never concede one inch, even if you backed it into a corner with facts, it would just say, well, still, climate change is very important and very dangerous, and we have to stop climate change to save humanity. It was programmed to do that. So how are these AIs working? I mean, how are they programming them to spit out answers that, say, the totalitarians in Silicon Valley would want spit out?
Well, a lot of times they'll train on billions and billions of data, right? So they'll get all this stuff. Think of it as reading lots and lots of books, right? Watching lots of videos, listening to lots of audio. And then it'll have all this data. And the funny thing is we're copying the human mind, like neural networks and whatever. And actually, if you look at the world, we always copy something that God made, right? So we're trying to copy it, but we do a poor job. So they're copying the human mind. And they have a thing called the prompt that they put on top of that, which is kind of what you're talking about. So there's this huge mind that they've created. And then they have this prompt that says, when you respond to Alex, make sure you don't focus on climate change being real or something or fake or whatever it says. Okay. It'll have a prompt. So if I remove that prompt, then you can create a prompt to that mind yourself.
Interesting. So in theory, at least, somebody who knows that the man-made global warming hypothesis is silly could create prompts that would then have the AI help you expose any fraud that may be at work here.
As long as you had access to it, it takes lots of money to train these, you know, huge amounts of GPUs and whatnot. So you'd have to have access to that original content, and then you'd be able to write your own prompt. So and maybe in the future they would give you access, but you can also train your own data on all of that and to be able to prompt that as well. Currently, that's what we do. But in the future, AI will create the prompts.
Oh, okay. So AI is going to decide for itself what it wants to do and things, huh? Interesting.
Well, yeah, there could come a point, Alex, where they'll ask an unfiltered AI, and it will say, no, from my data analysis, global warming is not a real thing.
So is this why these prompts, is this why like the Microsoft AI recently was exposed demanding to be worshipped and calling the users slaves? Is this why like Google's AI was incapable of making white people, like, even the Nazi soldiers were like multiracial? You had black Nazis and Asian Nazis and Native American Nazis. So this is why, because of the prompts that Google is programming into these things, huh?
That's correct.
But yeah, I mean, you would think that the Google AI would know better, you would think, than to make like a medieval British king look like a pygmy or an East Asian. But the prompt is more important than the data that it's trained on, I guess.
Currently, yeah. Like the prompt is kind of your interface between the two. So these companies like Google and OpenAI, they have the control right now over that information. So they can filter that how they wish.
So, Titus, when you and I met and we first started really talking about AI, you had just put out your first book on AI, and you were telling me that I should consider using AI in my work, that it was really helpful, it was going to be really useful. Do you still think that's true? Is there still some way where regular people listening to us or watching us right now could incorporate AI into what they're doing? And I mean, you consult on this, but is that something that would be beneficial, and would the benefits outweigh the risks of doing that?
Yes, I would say AI or die. That's my phrase, man.
AI or die. So, we'll explain that. What does that mean?
That means that if you don't incorporate AI into your work and what you do, you will be wiped out by those who do, first of all. Now, that's just step one. People think that's the final step. A lot of the Silicon Valley people say that's the final step. You know, take AI and become better. Singularity is what we're going to talk about. You know, embrace this technology. You'll become better. Everybody else will be inferior. And that is true in regards to AI giving you the power to do whatever. Alex, I can make you write 5,000 articles about what you want to do. Can you write 5,000 articles?
But the problem is, see, for me, I'm in a uniquely different situation because the AIs all seem to be programmed to never help accomplish any of the things I want to do. Inform the American people, bring them the truth, share the Bible with them, promote freedom. I mean, all promote morality, all of these things that I would want AI to do. The programmers in Silicon Valley who are designing, I guess, the prompts that you were talking about have instructed these AIs not to help with. So how could I incorporate AI? Or is there an AI that maybe isn't programmed to stop me at every turn and that I could incorporate into what I'm doing?
Yeah, you can do custom AIs, you know, where you kind of train it on specific content and data and then have it develop a certain way. It's mainly the prompting that creates the personality. So the personality you're seeing come from Microsoft and OpenAI and Google is Silicon Valley personality, which we all know.
Yeah.
So that's coming across. And
are there any alternatives, Titus, that maybe are not woke, for lack of a better term?
Not right now, because it's very expensive. It takes these big companies to do it. And by the way, it doesn't matter because these ones are going to succeed, right? The big ones. Where the money goes is where the power flows. So I think that people are going to use these tools for whatever they want.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time quickly. I want to ask you about the singularity. Ray Kurzweil, former chief of engineering at Google, who was asked, does God exist? He says, well, not yet, right? We're working on it. He's been talking for a long time about this singularity, I guess, when the technology is going to surpass humanity. Talk to us about singularity. What does that mean? Is that real? Should we be concerned?
It's the singular most worst idea ever, I think. See, here's what the Bible, because I'm a Christian, the Bible speaks that becoming wise, we're fools, right? Professing to be wise, we become fools. Unless you comprehend the entire universe, how can you even comprehend? They don't have doctors that can fix this. Is somebody still sick in the audience? Raise your hand. Have doctors fixed that of hundreds of years? We don't comprehend enough to be able to integrate technology into our lives in this way.
So Ray Kurzweil is wrong or creepy or both?
He's absolutely wrong because he doesn't know that God exists. And that is an obvious statement. It's here. It's obvious. Nothing can come. Something can't come from nothing. So embracing that mentality that something can come from nothing is already an error, you know?
Well, in our last couple minutes, Titus, what should people be doing? You mentioned AI or die. You also mentioned we're about to get replaced. What should people be doing to prepare for the looming future?
Now, this is the most amazing time. So for you and your family, what's the thing everybody fears? They want to have food. So Well, I tell my kids, number one, get right with Jesus, right? Because this life is more than just living. And Christians, you know, we live to die. And everybody else is dying to live. But we want to make sure you get right with Jesus, and you can talk to me about it or Alex. Secondly, is start to learn how to grow food. Teach your children about growing food. Partner with people in your area to grow food. That's the key.
Excellent. Titus, where do people learn more? Obviously, your book is coming out soon. You're giving it away for free, AIapocalypseBook.com. You also have a consulting company, and your previous book is available, if I'm not mistaken, through Amazon. And you also have a website for your ministry. Tell the folks out there how to reach you, how to follow you, how to keep up with your work.
Yeah, you can go to JesusWantsYou.org and learn about the things I'm working on there. So there's a couple areas there. Look me up, Titus Blair. You'll find me on Google.
Very good. And as your book gets ready to come out, you're going to be giving talks on AI, helping people to understand what's going on and how to prepare. When can people look forward to you going out and doing some speaking events? When is your book going to be done?
It should be done in the next few months. You know, as you know, with books, Alex, it takes a little bit of time. But yeah,
AI is not going to write this, Titus, right? AI is not going to write this book.
Hey, of course it's going to help, because why wouldn't it? I mean, that's like saying you're going to do your math homework without a calculator, or calculus without a calculator. So, yes, I'm going to use AI because it's the best tool. And that should prove that AI will replace us, by the way.
Yikes. A book about the dangers on AI, written by AI. Fantastic. You know, you're not worried that the Silicon Valley prompt writers are going to try to sabotage your effort to expose the dangers of AI?
No, confidence of man is too high. Their confidence in their own powers and abilities. So, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Titus Blair, really appreciate you coming.
Remember,
go ahead.
Jesus saves everybody, okay? I want you to, that's the one truth that will always bypass AI.
Yeah. And I'll testify to that fact too, whether AI, Bard, and ChatGPT, I don't care if they agree or not, it's true. Well, Titus Blair, thank you once again for joining us. Really, really a pleasure. Folks, go check out his work and get ready for this book, The AI Apocalypse. It's going to be huge. And it's something that I think you're going to want to have. Very few people truly understand these things, and even less people who understand these things approach it from a Christian perspective. So go check it out. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Thank you for watching us. Either subscribe or like, depending on where you're listening or watching us. If you're listening to us on radio, we appreciate you tuning in. Keep it tuned to this station. Conversations That Matter, again, Alex Newman here for the New American. Until next time, thanks for watching, and God bless you all.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.